Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining the Human-Animal Connection podcast. I'm really delighted to speak to a very seasoned kitten fosterer, and she's going to tell us all the details in case you ever wondered if you were the sort of person that would have a wonderful time fostering kittens. So we're going to learn everything that you need to know to get yourself started. And of course, working with your local shelter, they may have some particular rules that you'll follow. But this is just a general, how do I jump in becoming a foster kitten mama or papa, whoever you are. So if you were thinking about fostering kittens in your home, what are some of the things, Kathleen, you'd need to think about?
Okay. Well, thank you, Jeannie. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. Fostering kittens can be one of the most rewarding things you can do with your time. And if you're not prepared, maybe some of the most frustrating things you can do.
Okay.
So it's really just a matter of thinking about safety and security for the animal. Kittens need a safe, secure place that's away from any hazards or toxic substances. You just think of when you have a human baby, when you have a child who's not an infant anymore, but now a toddler, right? What can you keep them away from? So you want to give them a safe space. This can be a spare bedroom in your home that you can set up for them, a spare bathroom, or even with very young kittens, you can set up a playpen, a pop-up playpen. They always need access to clean water, fresh, clean water daily, and food. So any kind of an environment where you can say they're safe and secure is the best way to set them up.
Great. And it's so important, these early experiences, to set them up so that they are going to do well in an adoption situation. So let's talk a little bit about, in addition to cleaning the litter box daily, fresh food, fresh water, what are some of the things that as a human we can do to create a sense of security in these kittens?
This is a great question because sometimes people would think, well, all I have to do is feed them and clean up after them and just make sure that they're getting fed. Absolutely not. One of the most important things that a foster parent can do for a kitten is to give them some enrichment. You have to play with them. You have to stimulate them mentally as well as physically, because our job as a foster parent is to get them used to humans, get the kittens to trust humans, and to make them the best pet that they can be. If they don't get any socialization, then they're not going to be adoptable animals. And the best period of time for us to do that is when a kitten is between 2 and 7 weeks old. And
yeah,
that's
so
an ideal time. Very young, right? Because any time after that, then they start to develop habits that would not be considered desirable habits for a parent to actually, for someone to actually adopt them. So it's very crucial. We want you to play with them. And you don't need a lot of expensive toys. You can do your own toys. Little pipe cleaners. Kittens are fascinated with pipe cleaners. Corks from a wine bottle. The paper rolls on a toilet paper or a paper towel roll. These are things that they can play with, so they don't have to be expensive toys, and spend time with your kitten. Obviously, many people are working. They don't have all day. But if you go in periodically during the day or into the evening or whenever you can, that's the best time to be with your kitten.
Right. And what about the litter box? Is it true that kittens know what to do, or how do you set them up for success?
Well, I don't want to show favorites, but I will tell you in my experience, kittens are a whole lot easier to train than puppies. Starting at about the time when a kitten is weaning from mother's milk or bottle formula, and they start to get into wet food, which can be between 3 and 4 weeks old, we can really introduce the litter box, and it doesn't take very long. Kittens get stimulated. We stimulate them with a little gauze pad or a little cotton ball to make them urinate or go to the bathroom. And then if you do this and then start just putting them in the litter box, it does not take too long for them to figure out what that litter box is for. Stimulate the kitten after eating, put them in a litter box. It doesn't take very long, so it's really pretty easy.
Great. That's excellent. And does the litter box need to be low enough so they can get in easily? Do you need to think about that too?
Absolutely. Many folks are used to the litter boxes that have what I would say about a 4 or 5 inch lip to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we have young, small kittens, you want to make sure that they can step into the box. And what we typically use is a cardboard box from even cans of food. Mm-hmm. Any cardboard box that has about a 1 or 2 inch lip to it. So it's high enough to keep the litter in the box, mm-hmm. but not so that the kitten can't get in and out. Yeah. But you don't have to, again, spend a lot of money. I don't want people to think it's expensive to do this. You can just get the top or the bottom of a cardboard box and cut it so that it's about this much, an inch and a half, perhaps two, mm-hmm. no more than 2 inches, so that that kitten can step in and out.
Yeah, great. Good. And what about exposing kittens to children, other people, other animals? What are some of the do's and don'ts on that?
Okay, great question. First of all, when you bring your kitten home, that's a totally new environment for them. And for many reasons, you're going to want to quarantine that kitten or kittens from the rest of your household. We recommend a minimum of 2 weeks. There's a couple of reasons for that. When kittens come into a shelter environment or if they're found on the street, you don't know what that kitten has been exposed to. You don't know if they're sick, if there's something that hasn't shown up. They will have been triaged at a shelter if you're going to be fostering with another organization. But we really don't know whether or not they're completely healthy. We don't want you to bring a kitten into your home or a litter of kittens and expose your other resident animals. If you have a dog, or you have other cats, you want to make sure that everything's just okay. So you want to quarantine them for 2 weeks or so. After that, it's a good idea to very carefully, with supervision, introduce your kittens to the other animals in your family. If someone is coming over and they are visiting you, absolutely, let them come in, introduce them to the kittens, let the kittens play with them. And young children, you have to just be a little careful, always under supervision. A child that's 10 years up and above, teenagers, young adults, that's not really a problem. But with young children, you have to be careful. They're so excited. And it's a wonderful experience for both. But again, always under supervision.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know I've told you we work with one of the shelters here. We take kittens to the VA. And it's really, really fun to, and we tell people, yeah, put the kitten next to your heart so the kitten could feel the heartbeat. And it's just beautiful to see these big, tough guys, big, tough women, just become this little cuddle monster with this little yeah. kitten. It's just a lovely thing to see. I mean, kittens have such a joy and they bring so much life into your life. You know, they're so happy to be here and in a body in the world, and they just want to play and cuddle. I don't want to paint it that it's always perfect, because I know it isn't, but it really does bring something magical into your life. Yeah.
Kittens have an incredible way of melting people's hearts.
Yeah.
I've seen it over and over again, as you mentioned, big, tough, you know, or folks that are perhaps a little bit gruff around the edges, and they just completely melt like a puddle mm-hmm. when a kitten is put in their arms. So I agree with you. They just have that magical quality.
Yeah. And do you recommend sleeping with the kittens, or they should sleep in their own area?
When they're that young and you're fostering them, although it's a huge, huge temptation, we recommend that you let them sleep in the area that you've set up for them. If you have more than one kitten, and typically you will have at least two, and there's reasons for that. A young kitten by themselves is going to be unhappy. They're used to having their siblings around, if not their mom, and they don't do well on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have two kittens or three or more, some people take a whole litter, you're going to want them to be able to socialize with each other and also sleep with each other. It's the safest way.
Okay, good. And generally speaking, let's say the difference between having two and having five, is it a lot more work? not much more. How much difference is it to have a take the whole litter?
Well, it sounds a lot like it would be a lot of extra work, and it's really not that hard. It's more difficult to take care of a single kitten than it is to have two or three or four. Typically, unless someone wants to keep a litter together, with the organization that I work with, we would say two or three. If it's five and someone is experienced, they've done a lot of fostering, we'll say, okay, you've got the room, you've got the ability, take the whole litter. It's just a matter of making sure everybody gets food.
Yeah. Okay. Now, is that a challenge with little kittens at making sure that each one gets the food? Or
sometimes we have what I call food bullies. One or two kittens might be maybe a little bit bigger than the other ones. There's always one that is not quite getting their share, so to speak. So sometimes you have to supervise that feeding, or you have to feed separately. You might feed three kittens if we're talking about five, for example. You would feed three kittens in one area, and if one or two of them is not getting the nutrition that they need, or is always fighting to get more, or before they finish their bowl, the brother or sister is over helping them, right, finish. We always feed them separately so that they get a chance to get full nutrition.
That's important. It's interesting. There are kitten bullies too.
Yes.
not just human bully kids, right? Right. Okay. So what are some of the common concerns that people should be aware of, or, you know, if they see something they should worry, what are some of the concerns?
Well, most of the time, healthy kittens come to your house, but it is not uncommon for a kitten at this age who is, we're going to talk 2, 3 weeks old, 4 weeks old. Now, most of our kittens that go out at that age are going to very experienced foster parents, because a 2 week or 3 week old kitten is still considered what we call a bottle baby. Mm-hmm. They are not on wet food yet. Mm-hmm. But when they transition to wet food and they start to learn how to get, you know, that type of nutrition in their body, it is not uncommon for what we call poop problems. Diarrhea is very, very common. Their little systems have not yet adjusted from mother's milk or formula substitute to actually eating wet food. Mm-hmm. So it's something that people get concerned about, but we usually give probiotics and there's medication that can be given. And if one kitten is showing diarrhea, loose stool, you want to treat the entire group of kittens that you have, whether it's 2, 3, 4. You want to make sure that everybody gets the same medication. So diarrhea is concerned. It's very, very easy to clear up, however. Mm-hmm. Another concern can be an upper respiratory infection, a kitty cold. Mm-hmm. Just like we get human colds, kittens sometimes get colds. And what you will see then is perhaps a weepy eye, either a clear discharge or a yellow or green discharge from their nose or their eye. They might have some sneezing. They might be a little out of sorts, perhaps a little lethargic. And then you want to make sure that you, if you're working with an organization, you're going to contact them to make sure they get in to see a vet. If you're doing this on your own, you're going to want to make sure that the animal is seen by a vet. Beyond that, another thing that could show up is ringworm. And ringworm sounds very scary. It has nothing to do with worms. It is a fungal infection. It's much like athlete's foot that humans can get. It's a fungal infection. It's 100% curable. We at the organization that I work with, we do a lot of that work. We have an isolation area, and it's a period of time that you would have to treat the animal with oral medications and also with a medicated bath, but it can be done. Now, if you see scaly skin, in other words, loss of fur on the animal and what looks like a scab, that might be a reason to take the animal in to make sure that they don't have ringworm. And if they do, there's medication that can be given.
Great. Great. Well, this is fascinating. We're going to take a short little break, but when we come back, I want you to tell us some of your most fun, heartwarming kitty stories.
Okay, great.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, friends. If you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection podcast. And we're speaking with Kathleen Rocher, and she's a seasoned kitten fosterer. She's telling us all about how much fun it is, as well as all the practical things we need to know to have kittens come to our home. So I know there's a term called foster fail, and it seems like not the best term, but everybody makes a joke about it. Tell us about foster failures.
Well, I can give you some personal experience in that area. And it is kind of strange because when you say fail, it brings up a negative connotation, right? A foster fail. You're fostering with the understanding that at the end of the fostering period, you're going to return these kittens that you've been caring for, that you've been socializing, that you've been making sure are the best possible pets they can be, over to your organization, if you're working with one, or to someone who's going to adopt the kitten. If you can't do that, that's considered a foster fail. But in reality, it's really a success story.
Right.
And I can share my personal story.
Just to be clear, people, if you're fostering, you do have the option, first option to get them, right? So
most
organizations will say, yeah, you're first in line. If you fall in love with somebody, you just can't let them go. Or maybe a whole pack of somebodies, you just can't let them go. That is always an option. But we have a little joke amongst ourselves of calling them foster fail because we can't take them back.
We can't give them back. Right. Yeah. And, you know, you give each one of them love. I will share one little story. I've been fostering for 4 years now. Mm-hmm. And I started, if we start going back on our calendar, in 2020, the middle of the pandemic.
Yes.
I had just retired from a very busy job with the government. And all of a sudden, you're not going anywhere. You're not seeing folks. You're really much isolated. And many of us were ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I had planned to volunteer with my organization in-house. And that was set aside. No one was coming into the facility. But I got a phone call where they said, would you like to foster kittens? And I jumped at the chance. I will tell you that for me, it was so rewarding and so fulfilling. And it was, well, who rescued you? Who?
Yeah.
Was I rescuing the animals and helping to take care of them, or were they rescuing me?
Yes.
So when the time came to bring those first two kittens back, a brother and sister, I brought them back to the organization, and I sat in the parking lot and cried for a good 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I couldn't see well enough to actually drive the car home.
Oh.
And it was such a difficult thing because I had given them so much love and care. And then I pretty much, after a few days, went right back and got another group of kittens. And what I've realized now, that the purpose of all of this is to ensure that you take care of them, you give them all this love, you prepare them, and then you give them back so you can make room for another kitten that you're going to help take care of. Yeah. And in September of 2021, I was bringing three kittens home, and two little girls and a little boy, and they were about 6 or 7 weeks old, so they weren't tiny babies. And I just, for some reason, really, really fell in love with the little boy. He was what we call a flame point Siamese, so he was strikingly beautiful, white kitten with a red muzzle and red ears and red rings around his tail. And when the time came to give him back, I just couldn't bear to leave him with his sisters. I had to keep him. One of the reasons why is that I had recently lost a senior cat, and I was feeling a lot of emptiness, as well as my other resident cat, she was grieving. Mm-hmm. But this situation was such that I couldn't let him go. Well, he's been a crazy nut. he's my big baby Huey. He's grown into a beautiful cat, but he's a scaredy cat. Everything scares him. And so I find a lot of pleasure in him investigating. He's so curious. But that heartstring, I couldn't let it go. And I think I can tell you that every other foster parent that I know has had at least one of these foster successes where they just couldn't let the kitten go. And it's been very rewarding. He's a real member of my family.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I know one man who has 13 foster fails.
Oh, my.
He was someone who was willing to take medically, cats with challenges. So he's got blind cats. He's got three-legged cats. He's got this, you know, everything that you could think of. These were animals that were not likely to get adopted.
Right.
Not everybody has the readiness for that. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's a wonderful thing in a way to foster, and maybe you foster 10 kittens and there's one that you just have a soul connection with. You just can't send that one back to the shelter. We have to come up with a better name than foster fail for these experiences.
Absolutely.
Because it's just really, really beautiful and rewarding.
There's no failure involved.
Yeah.
There is a success story at the end of each one of these stories. This is an animal that meant so much to you and or your family that you wanted to make them part of your own family. So it's a success story.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, one thing we didn't talk about was bottle feeding. Can you, do you do bottle feeding kittens?
Yes, I have.
What age should they be separated from their mother? I mean, hopefully they're not separated this early, but tell us about that.
Well, it depends upon the circumstances. You know, we have a lot of what I will call good Samaritans in the community sometimes, Jeannie. Mm-hmm. We actually do have a kitten season.
Yeah.
We are in the middle of kitten season. It starts sometimes late March, early April, and goes all the way through sometimes to November, December. But sometimes folks will see kittens that are young and they're on their own. And maybe won't look around for if the mother is around. So sometimes kittens are scooped up, if you will, when they shouldn't be taken away from their mother and brought into a shelter or a facility.
The mother may be out looking for food, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She might be looking for food and she might be trying to make sure she's got enough nutrition so she can feed those babies. And so that's we always caution people, please, please don't just go out and scoop up kittens. Mm-hmm. Many times we will take a nursing queen and her kittens into the shelter. And that's always a great situation because we can give her a safe place in a foster home to nurse her kittens, get ready, and then we will spay her, put her up for adoption. And when her kittens are ready, we do the same thing, spay and neuter them. So that's a great situation for everyone.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, very, very young kittens come in. Last year, I was given two bottle babies, a little brother and a sister. They were it was the day after they were born. Their little umbilical cord was still attached.
Wow.
And of course, they were, their eyes weren't open yet. Their eyes didn't open up for another week to 10 days. So they were extremely young. And kittens this young are very, very delicate. You have to watch them constantly, and they need to be fed every 2 to 3 hours. So anyone who remembers what it's like if you happen to be a mom and you were nursing your own son or daughter, it's much like that. You have to give these kittens a bottle feeding that often, typically 6 to 7 times in a day.
Wow.
So that can be a little bit challenging in the beginning, mm-hmm. but it's also a fact of making sure that you weigh them. They need to be gaining about 1/4 of a pound a week.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are not, then you really want to make sure that you're getting them the medical attention they need. But that is extremely rewarding. And I'm happy to say that from that litter with a little boy and girl, I named them Gia and Giorgio.
Oh.
And I happened to have the opportunity to still be in touch with Giorgio's adopter, a young man who lives not far from me. And I still get photos. He sent me photos and videos from his Giorgio's first birthday party.
Aww.
And that is wonderful because I usually share a goodie bag of toys and treats and a letter from me when I bring my kittens in for adoption. And oftentimes, it doesn't happen all the time and there's absolutely no requirement to.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, the adoptive family will at least let me know, hi, we're so happy, and here's a few photos. But sometimes it lasts even longer than that. So those are one of the wonderful stories about that. So little Giorgio is totally spoiled, and he's doing very well from this little tiny little baby that he came into my house and my life that last year.
Oh, well, I can see it's brought so much joy into your life and, you know, just expanded your heart in so many ways. It's just delightful. Now, I know that you're in training as an animal communicator. Do you find that it's easy to talk to kittens, or are they just a little too young to talk?
Thank you for that, because the more that I do learn about communicating with animals, the more I'm realizing that I don't think it really depends upon the age of the animal. It's whether or not you make that intuitive connection that psychic connection with the animal. I will tell you that I had an opportunity to do that last year. Mm-hmm. Last year, I was fostering a litter of four little brothers, and we didn't get them into the shelter until they were about 7-8 weeks old. Now, that gets to be a really precarious time. Mm-hmm. Remember, I mentioned earlier that 2 to 7 weeks is an ideal time to socialize kittens. Mm-hmm. When they start to get a little older than that, and these were feral kittens, they were brought in from the outside, mm-hmm. they start to really get distrustful. And I had a really difficult time with these four. I mean, this one particular little one just hid all the time. I could never really work with them. So when I brought them back to our organization, to our shelter, two of them went up for adoption right away. Two of them had to go to our kitten nursery, mm-hmm. where we work on behavior modification. Mm-hmm. And this was the last little boy. Now, he was black. Mm-hmm. And we do find sometimes it's yes. just an amazing thing, but our little black kittens, or yeah. mostly black kittens, sometimes linger a little longer.
Yeah.
And he simply just wasn't going anywhere. And it was really breaking my heart, because I also work in cat adoptions, and I would come in and see him. Mm-hmm. So I actually made a connection with him, mm-hmm. and I asked him, you know, what could be done to help him? How was he feeling? And the answer I got was he didn't like the name that I had given him.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay. So we talked a little bit about that, and I actually chose a different name. As the foster parent, you have the option, if you'd like, to have naming your kittens. Of course, when the kitten is adopted,
right.
the adopted family can change that name.
Right. So
I actually changed his name and wrote up a whole new pet portfolio for him with a new name, and he was adopted 4 or 5 days later.
Wonderful. What was the new name?
I called him Mr. Ribbons.
Mr. Ribbons. Okay. I've seen that so often, that dogs, cats in the shelter with the wrong name, does not express their spirit, takes longer to get adopted, yeah. and you get the right yep. name. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's amazing. Right.
Yeah. So I really encourage people, if you don't feel you yourself are an animal communicator, to work with a really good and trusted animal communicator to
yep.
make sure you have the right name, because it's a name you're going to use every day, multiple times a day. And the more you have a name that expresses their essence, the better life will be for both of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Kathleen, it's been delightful to talk with you. I hope we've inspired some people to maybe consider kitten fostering if that's the right choice for them. It isn't the right choice for everyone, but if it is the right choice for you, it will open your life in beautiful ways.
I really encourage folks as well. Thank you for your time, Jeannie. It is something we do from the heart, but what you get back is you can't even believe how much love you get back from these animals. It's very rewarding. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll see you again at the Human Animal Connection. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning into the Human Animal Connection show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.